So just to, what we did so far was a little bit, broken up, I guess. We had an introductory shiur on Masachat Shavuot.
It was a month ago, maybe you could.
I'm going to give a bechina on that right now.
We reminded so which Masachat.
What?
We reminded us of which Masachat we were learning.
Exactly. Then we had a shiur on Inyanei Rosh Hashanah, and then we had a shiur on Inyanei Yom Kippur. So, right, so this is a continuation of the first year, but, either we're going to, call on people and hold them to it, or we'll do a little bit of a recap, one or the other, right? So, okay, so we'll do a little bit of a recap. So the Mishnah here, let's just start with the Mishnah, and then next week hopefully we'll move on, but even though there's a lot to talk about. We'll start with, the Torah Shebichtav. What is Shavuos Ha'edus? I think the first shiur, I did a little of an introduction to the Masechta to try to explain that a Masechet Shavuos is really a number of Masechtas or a number of different topics blended together, much more so even than many other Masechtas and Shas. Most Masechtas have a single theme, and Shavuos really is very multi-dimensional. And one of the points I was trying to make was that it starts off with the inyanim of Maris Negoim and inyanim Kanshim and Taharos. From there it moves on to Nedarim, really Shavuos, or Shavuos Bitui, which is the counterpart of Nedarim. And that, starts around Daf Yud Tes or so. And then after Daf Lamed, from Lamed to Mem Tes, pretty much, is a section of Choshen Mishpat. Shavuos Eidos, Shavuos Abikadon, Shavuos Hadayanim, and Shavuos Nishba Venotel. And the point that I was just trying to make then was that obviously this section, which is not the majority of the Masechta, again, there are 40, let's say the Masechta goes to Mem Tes, the Choshen Mishpat part starts only on Daf Lamed, and nonetheless, the decision was made to put Masechet Shavuos in Seder Nezikin, even though it would have been very natural to, given the name of the Masechta and the very strong focus on Shavuos Bitui, to put it in Nashim together with Nedarim, or to move Nedarim to Shavuos, one or the other. So I think what that indicates is that although it's not such a large Masechta, the section, the Choshen Mishpat part, is very important, and it's really, it's very revealing or very reflective. Along with Eidos and Dayanus, which are the main topics of which are discussed in Masechet Sanhedrin, the beginning part, the Dayanim, and then, the third parak, Psul Eidos. The idea of a Shavua as a mechanism of Birur Mebezdin, Shavuos HaDayanim in particular, is something which is very important, plays a very important role in the Halacha. So even the categorization or classification of this Masechta is an interesting question that requires much more elaboration. But the parak that we're going to be studying or starting to study, and then we'll get past it into other things, is Perek Shavuos Ha'edus. And Shavuos Ha'edus itself is just a very interesting phenomenon. It's a hybrid, essentially, meaning it's comprised of two components that come together. And whenever anything is a hybrid, the halakha has many hybrids, it's always very challenging to figure out what the relationships are. Me'ila is a hybrid, right? It's Gezel of Kadshim. There are many hybrids. Shavuos Ha'edus and Shavuos Ha'Pikadon are hybrids. Shavuos Ha'edus basically is a circumstance where somebody demands a mitvah or toveya, whatever it is, two litigants in a din Torah, and one of them demands that Edom come forward and testify about what they know. They know they want to involve third parties as witnesses. And the din of Shavuos Ha'edus is the din that if the demand is made, to come forward, the fellow says, I don't know anything about this case, or I don't know sufficiently about this case. And then a shvuah is imposed upon them, and they lie, And Nishbala Sheker, the Edim, so under certain conditions, if they're Ru'im Lahayin, and if it's in Bezdin, and if indeed they could decide this case, all the conditions that we'll be discussing throughout the Limud, if they lie about it, Bishvua, then they're Chayev, a Karban, Shvua Sa'edus. They bring a Karban. So that's a hybrid. Why do I call it a hybrid? Meaning, basically, there are two elements, two components in this case, which need to be weighed. One is the fact that by refusing to testify, by abstaining from coming forward or from sharing what they know, they are adversely economically affecting the, you know, the Baldavar, right? If they were to testify, you know, he would win his case or he would not lose his case, as the case may be, right? And the net result is that he's going to be out $5, $500, $5 million. The amount doesn't matter. You know, din pruta kedin meya. But the principle is that, and that's very much a choshen mishpat component, right? That's that belongs either in Hilchos Eidos or in Hilchos, we'll talk about that very soon, Nizke Mamon, right? In other words, he's shirking his responsibility. They're shirking their responsibility to be Edim. And the result is that the Baldavar is suffering a loss. And that's all belongs to the world of Choshen Mishpat. At the same time, there wouldn't be a Korban Shvuas Ha'edos unless they lied under oath. So there's a Shvuas Halacha. That's what I mean by it being a hybrid. Or to put it, again, very simply and very graphically, I guess, the Rambam deals with dinim of Shvuas Ha'edos, you know, or dinim related to the parak of Shvuas Eidos, mostly in two different places. One in Hilchos Eidos, right, which we'll soon see, starting from parak Aleph Halacha Aleph, which begins with the discussion of the obligation of people who know evidence to come forward. But the larger treatment, of course, of Shvuas Eidos and the Korban and so on, is as part of Hilchos Shavuos. So one again is in Sefer Shoftim. That's where Hilchos Eidos is, towards the end of the Rambam, the last book of the Rambam. And the other is in Sefer Hafla, where the Rambam deals with Shvuos and Nedarim and Nazirus, and so on. Shvuos HaPikadon, the next parak, which is very parallel in many respects, I'll just give me one more second, is the fifth parak, is also hybrid, and is very much a parallel comparison contrast to Shvuos Eidos. That's Shvuos HaPikadon. That's a parsha in Kedoshim, or basically, you know, Reuven says to Shimon, right, you have my object and you need to return it. Or something like that. Or I lent you money. Whatever it is, Shimon's response is, I don't owe you money. I never met you before. I paid you back. Whatever. In other words, I'm exempt from any kind of obligation. And the Torah says that, you know, if that's what happened, that's already gezel, if he lies about it. Lo sechachashu ish bamiso. But if there is also a shvua, meaning if he says, swear to me, and the guy swears, so it's also lo sashakru ishba miso, and that triggers a karban shvua sapikando. So once again, you have a hybrid reflected by the Rambam's treatment, right? Some of the dinim of shvua sapikando are in Hilchos Gezela, some of the dinim of shvua sapikando are in Hilchos Shavuos. Actually, it's an interesting phenomenon which we'll get back to, and that is that the Rambam, who's, you know, psakim and language, and even his organization and classification, you know, always draw our attention, because the Rambam, in addition to being, you know, a great, decisor, the person who paskin the shilas, right, and a great organizer, through his, you know, decisions, and especially the language that he uses, and even, or especially, the classification itself, the Rambam is a mefarish, right? He's an interpreter. So it's interesting that the dinim of Shvuas HaPikadon are spread throughout those two places, but it's also interesting that the Rambam flipped the order of Shvuas HaPikadon and Shvuas HaEdos that we have in our Mishnayos, right? The way that Masechet Shavuos goes is, as I mentioned, the fourth parak is Shvuas HaEdos, the fifth parak is Shvuas HaPikadon. And the Rambam, in Hilchos Shavuos, actually dedicates Perek Zayin and Perek Ches to Shvuas HaPikadon, and Perek Tes and Perek Yud to Shavuos Eidos. So he actually flipped the order, very much intentionally. I think that the Rambam saw Shavuos Shav, Bitui, Pikadon, Eidos as a as a hierarchy, which I'll explain as we move forward. But the point is that both Shavuos Eidos and Shavuos Pikadon are comprised of two elements, a Choshen Mishpat one and a Haflah one, and it's incumbent upon us to try to understand what the relationship is between those two aspects. And our first topic, which we briefly began before we had the Yom Shiurim, began to discuss one of those components and how it might connect to the other one. In other words, before you get to the question of Shavuos Eidos and the two components, namely the Hefsed Mamon al Yidei Kvishas Eidos, Shenasa al Yidei Shavuos Sheker, before you get to that, there's an even more fundamental question to ask, and that is there an obligation to give testimony, per se? Is there an obligation not to be a bystander, but to come forward and to participate, let's say, as a civic, halachic duty, you could call it, right, to support the system, to support your neighbor, whatever it is, the kind of things that we've been beginning to explore, or not. So that's what I want to continue with today. But first, your question. Yeah.
In the aspect of the Chosh Mishpat aspect of Shavuos Eidos, I presume we'll talk at some point how crucial the witness's testimony has to be.
Correct, 100%. I alluded to it, but you're explicating it correctly. Meaning, I think what I said was that their abstention or their refraining from being made has to be monetarily consequential. Now, how monetarily consequential? Meaning, everything depends only on them. You know, it could also be decided by them. These are issues that we will discuss more fully. Let's say something which I don't know if we'll get to today, but maybe we will. You can ask another question too. Let's say their impact could be felt, right, without technically it constituting eidos. That would be another interesting question. Okay, what do I mean? I'll give you one example, and then we'll leave it for now and come back to it when it's the right time. There are numerous situations where an individual or individuals can impact economically a situation, right, but you know, doesn't necessarily constitute eidos. Let's say, according to some Rishonim, the Mishnah says in the third parak of Sanhedrin that kiblo alai karov upasol, neman alai abba, neman alai vicha, neman alai gimel roi bakar, Mishnah in Zeborer, is accepted for eidos or for dayonis. In other words, if the Bali Dinim say, we don't want to go the regular route of Edom and Dayanim, we want to make up our own, doesn't make those people judges, or Edom, but, you know, you can decide monetarily on the basis of what we call Kibbul Alai. There are some restrictions, according to some Rishonim and so on. So, if you assume, and this is part of the discussion, is Kibbul Alai like a personal Din Torah with personal rules for Dayan and Edos? That's one way to look at it. Or is kibbul alai just a kind of ischa, what we call ischaivos? Basically, it's a commitment, right, to accept the conclusions, you know, of these people, even though they're not dayanim, they're not edim, they're not even edim and dayanim, they're not even simulated edim and dayanim, because they're psulim, they're krovim, you don't have the right number, you know, you don't have the right gender, you don't have the right distance in terms of, you know, relatives. Maybe they're psulim, maybe somebody's a rasha, you know, whatever the case may be. So you can't, assuming, and that's a big argument, assuming that those views, probably the predominant view, which is that you can't turn a puzzle into a kosher, and you can't turn one aid into eidos, and so on. So then kibbul alai is a kind of a schaivos, it's a commitment. So let's say you have kibbul alai, let's say the baldavar, the bali dvarim say, we're not going to stand on ceremony. We don't insist on eidos, right? If Ploni and Almoni, who aren't really eidos, let's say they're krovim, right? We'll come forward and then they will, tell a tale. We'll accept their narrative. Right? So then you have a situation which is not exactly Eidos, Alpidin, right, but it affects the case. That's where you can even split the, we'll call it the Hilchas Niske Mamon part from the Hilchas Eidos part. What will be in that case? For Shavuos Eidos and for Chovas Haggadah. So we'll talk about that. And there are other cases like it. Psulim, who are ksherim for certain things. For example, Eidos Bemisa Saba. Right? The real Aguna, meaning the original use of the word Aguna. Now we use Aguna for any woman who tragically is stuck in a marriage, and mostly because of recalcitrant husbands who don't want to give a get. But the original use of the word aguna referred to cases where a husband disappears in wartime, or he goes on some trip and some far flung place, and he's not heard from again. There's no evidence, of a corpse. So she's stuck, she can't move on because in that situation there's something called Eidos Bemisa Saba. Eid Echad is Nema Bemisa Saba. We accept the testimony of an Eid Echad in Misa Sabal. We accept Eid Mipa, even hearsay. As we relax the rules, whether that's Daraisa or Drabana, that's a debate. But this is a 10th parak of Yevamos issue, parak Isha Rabba, and beyond, till the end of the Masechta there. Krisha Shalom, and so on. We relax the rules of Eidos when it comes to the classic Aguna. So what happens in that case, when there's a, let's say, Eid Echad or Eid Mipied or Apostle, let's say women are Nemanos, B'misa Saba. Others also who are normally disqualified from regular Eidos are accepted when it comes to Misa Saba. What about Legabe? Korban Shavuos Eidos, or the Chiyuv Haggadah, right? If the question is that considered Eidos, or what we call Nemanus, right? Eid Echad Neman B'Yisurim, things of that sort. So there can be numerous cases where you have the impact, but you don't have the formal status of Eidos. And we have to talk about those cases as well. But you're 100% right. How exclusive are they to this result, as opposed to just contributory? We'll go back to all of those at some point. Yeah.
I'm curious. Is hearsay Eidos a problem?
Generally,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That's called Eid Mipied. In real Eid, when you need real Eidos, and that is in real Dine Mamon, it's Alpi Shnayim Eidim Yakum Davar, right? For capital cases, for regular monetary cases, for Eid Kiyum. In Gittin and Kiddushin and so on. That's where you need hardcore Eidos. Eid Mipi Eid is disqualified. It's good. That's hearsay. But Eid Mipi Eid does work where, in the three cases, pretty much, that are kind of on a next level, the next rung. Misa Sabal, Sota, and Egla Rufa. That's a category. Those three are a category where Eid Echad works, and not only Eid Echad, but even Eid Mipied. That's hearsay. But in a regular Dine Mamonos case, we do not accept hearsay.
Eid Mipied is.
Mipik Savam? What about it?
I mean, would that.
Yeah, that could figure in as well, too. Again, we don't generally, but that's a topic in its own. I don't want to get too far afield. This is not, we're not learning Gittin right now, or Ksuvas. But, a deposition, right? That's, we have a rule based on, it says, Alpi Shnayim Eidim. So the Gemara says in Gittin, Mi Piem Velo Mi Pi Ksavam. Because, Rashi in his Perush Al HaTorah says that, if a person writes, an Igeres Eidos Lebezdin, that it doesn't work, because that's in Piem Velo Mi Pi Ksavam. And as we know, the Rishonim, we're bothered by what they all ask. What's the difference between what we call Mipik Savam, which seems to be Pasul, and the Shtar, right? The contract, which is also Eidos Biksav. So if you can have Eidos Biksav of a Shtar, why can't you have Eidos Biksav of a deposition? So Rabbeinu Tam actually is Mechalek, in a more technical way, the famous view of Rabbeinu Tam, but the Baal Amor, the Ri, and others discuss the difference between what we call Dasa Mischayev and not. Mipim v'lo mipik savam, but not mipi hem v'lo mipik savo. But again, generally speaking, hearsay is not an acceptable edus, and you know, a deposition, in other words, initiated by the edim as opposed to a shtar, right, which is witnessed by edim but which is generated by the mischayev. That's the difference between point to most between a shtar and a piksavam. That, but the piksavam is also not acceptable. There are strict rules of law when it comes to. I'll try to explain actually how that fits into our topic. At a certain point. Okay, so basically, what we've said so far, this is look at the first Mishnah in Shavuos on the Pasuk that is the basis for this, just to reinforce what we're saying. The Mishnah says here in Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, just introducing this institution of Shavuos Eidos, that Shavuos Eidos, right, Noheges, Ba'anashim Velo Benashim, Berchokim Velo Bekrovim, Bekshayrim Velo Bepsulim, and meaning this. This situation where somebody imposes or demands, you know, under oath that people come and testify, or at least swear that they don't know testimony, right? And if indeed people, the Edom, swear falsely, that they're held accountable and they have to bring this korban, it only applies where we're dealing with Edom haruim lahayid. And I raised the question a second ago, is it really ruim lahayid, or is it effectiveness? You know, even if you could get around that, but we'll get back to that. So it applies to men, not to women, to people who are not related as opposed to relatives, b'ksherim v'lo b'psul, people who are kosher le'edus, as opposed to people who are apostle le'edus, like a rasha, ve'eina noheges, ele b'ru'in l'hoid, and it only applies, the question why it has to repeat that after saying the first things, the Gemara discusses that, and what it comes to be. M'mayit, it only applies to people who have, you know, who are worthy of, who are fit to be edim. Then the Mishnah goes on to say, it's very important, Bifnei Bezdin, Vishalo Bifnei Bezdin, Bipiatzmo. This is the view, Ubi Piachei, Remain Chayav, and Adshiach, Rabbi Bezdin, Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir was of the opinion that there are two types of Shuas Eidos. One is called Bipiatzmo, and the other Bipiachei. Bipiatzmo means that a demand is made, right, that the Edom come forward, and, you know, that otherwise they swear that they do not know testimony, and they respond by taking a full shua. That's called mipiatzmo. The Gemara says in Chav Tesamid Beis, the previous Amud actually, that kala one amein achara shvua kimotzi shvua mipiv. So there really are two, we'll talk about that. There are two cases, if you look just very quickly in the previous Amud, the last Amud of the previous parak. You see the Gemara there? There's a famous line of Shmuel. Omar Shmuel, like in the middle of the page, on Chav Tesamid Beis, the Gemara says, Omar Shmuel, kola ona ome nachara shvua, kemotzi shvua bepiv dami. Everybody have that? Okay. So which means that the Gemara is trying to solve a stira. It seems like the Mishnah says that shvuas bitui, meaning not shvuas edus of bikadon, just an oath that people take, right? Shvuas bitui applies what we call mipiatzmo, but not mipiacher. Only if the person articulates the shvua fully, not if he just you know, responds to someone else. Like as I say, I hereby impose upon you shvua, you know, and the other guy goes okay or yes, you know, or yeah, you know, I'll do it or something like that. That's not mipiatzmo. That's typically called mipiacher. So there seems to be a stira in the Mishnah, right? Whether or not mipiacherim works for Shua's bitui. First the Gemara says no, and then the Gemara seems to bring a case that implies yes. So the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, kola ona amanachar shua, kimotzi shmuel mipiv dami. Tetziv, according to Pasuk Matzota, va'amar isha amein, amein. And then the Gemara says, Amar Papa, bishmeid rabba, ma'asis n'rabraisa, namidaika. This can be demonstrated from the Mishnah, because it says, diktani, shua seydis n'hagas ba'anashim v'lo b'anashim b'chokim v'lo b'krom b'ksherim v'lo b'psulim, v'ein n'hagas elam b'ruin l'hai, the Mishnah we just read. And then it says, Bifne bezin shlo bifne bezin piatzmo and piacher ben chem rad shich bram bebezin the rabbi mayor. But tana bebraisa shvuas edus ketzan. Amal edim bo vahoy duni shvuas shenu neyodim vchaedus. O amru edu neyodim vchaedus majbi ani alechem vamru amen. Bein bifne bezin bein shlo bifne bezin bein piatzmo bein piacherim. Kivin shekafru chayavin the rabbi mayor. Kashin adani. Didn't rabbi mayor say that You know, you always need, bifnei bezdin, if it's me, pi acherim. So the Gemara says, lav, shmamina, hada ona amen, hada lo amar amen, shmamina. And then the Gemara adds and says, amar ravina, mishmei derava, masis and dahachinami daika. The Mishnah about Shuas Bitui also proves this. The Katani Shuas Bitui, nohagas banashim, ubanashim, brachokim, ubikrovim, biksherim, ubipsulim, bifnei bezdin, shalom, bifnei bezdin, mi piatzmo, right? Mi piatzmo in rather, mi piacherim lo. Uktani seifa, zev zev, mujba mi piacherim, chaya. The Sefer says that there is Mujman Piacherim in Shuas Bitui. Koshin Adadi, that's a stira. El Alav, Shmamino, Hada Onamein, Hada Lo Onamein, El Shmo Mai Kamashma, and Dukin Masis and Kamashma. So this little Shaklavataria establishes that there are two types of Mipiatzmos. We'll discuss them more fully. One is classical Mipiatzmo, where the Edim, in this case, articulates the Shua fully. And the other one is where he says amen, which is a kind of a ditto. Then the other guy says, swear to me that, and the guy says amen, right? Ditto. So that's considered mipi atzmo. It's as if he said those words. Okay? So Meir says that that bifnei bezdin, v'shalom bifnei bezdin, mipiatzmo. If the guy takes the shua himself in one of these two ways, either he actually articulates it or he says amen, then it doesn't matter whether this whole exchange takes place in or outside of Bezdin, because there's a substantial shivua that has been violated here. Okay. But mipiacherim ein chayavim ad shiichru bebezdin. But the shuas edus mipiacherim, where the Baldavar says to the Edim, Majbiani Aleichem, I hereby impose upon you a shua, evidence that can help me. And the guy says, Einenu, or they say, Einenu Yodim Lecha Edus. That's all they say. They don't say, we swear, right? They don't say, Amen. That's called Mipiacherim.
What do they say?
They say, Einenu Yodim Lecha. He says, I impose upon you a shua, according to the Rambam, Beshem, Bekinoi, that you, you do not know testimony on my behalf. So the guy doesn't say amen, and he also doesn't repeat the language, the text of the shua. What he says is, or what they say is, ein anu, or something like, ein anachnu, or ein anu yodim, edus. We don't know any witness testimony. Now alone, those words are not a shua. They don't constitute a shua. In response to the fact that he imposed a shua, the combination makes it a shua. That's called mipiachem. So what the Rav Meir says is something very remarkable. Rav Meir says basically there are two tracks of Shuas Edus. There's Shuas Edus Mipiatzmo, and that can be in or out of Bezdin. And the Shuas Edus Mipiacherim, that has to be in Bezdin. Okay? Why? Well, we'll explain more, but you can already get the inkling. I'll just talk about it for a minute. The Chacham disagree. They say, listen, there are two ways, there are two tracks of are two ways of doing Shuas Edus, but you don't have this nafkamina. Bein mipiatzmo, bein mipiacherim, enun chayavim, ad shiachru bebezin. Since the whole point here is the impact of their refusal to testify and their false oath on the monetary, success of the Baldavar. So all this has to take place in Bezdin where it's binding. Where we say, kivin shigit shuven chozer mag. And then the Mishnah concludes, Chayavan al Zdona Shua Val Shigasa, Mzadon Edus, El Chayavan al Shigasa, Main Chayavan al Zadon Shua, Korban Olav Yored. The Chiv is a Chiv, Korban Olav Yored, and part of the Chiddush is that you're Chayav even for Mazin. Typically, most Korban Shuas are Beshogeg. Very few are also Bemazin. Okay, we'll get to it. That's the first Mishnah. Basically, what it introduces us to is this hybrid called Shuas Edus, right? Where Kvishas Edus, suppression of Edus, accompanied by a Shuas Sheker, in the case of Mipiatzmo, or at least responding falsely to a Hashba'a, of the Toveya, in the case of Mipiacherim, I'm saying it that way for now, generates the skiyu. That's what we have. What's it based on? The answer is it's based on the pasuk in Vayikra, right? So look here in the sheets that we have. The Torah says in Parakeya Vayikra, pasuk aleph, nefesh ki sechata, the shama kol Allah. It's a very fascinating pasuk. One pasuk. Imagine what, you know, how much is packed into this one pasuk, right? Nefesh ki sechata, which we'll soon see looms large as a phrase. You know, literally, a soul or a person who is chote, right? The shama kol Allah, right, which we understand to mean, he heard, you know, the sound of the klala, meaning he was nishba b'shem, or he was nishba anyway, right? V'hu eid ora yada, and he is in fact an aid, means somebody who knows testimony in the case, he knows, im lo yagid v'nasa avonam, if he refuses to be forthcoming and to testify, then he carries the burden of his chet. The simple pshat of the pasuk, and this is the normal way that it's understood, is that what this pasuk is saying is, if you have this hybrid circumstance, namely, you are an aid who can help in a case, and the demand is made of you that you be forthcoming, and you not only abstain, but you lie, b'shvua, about your ignorance, right, justifying your abstention, right? If it turns out, or once we know that you lied, then you will bring a korban. That is korban shvuas ha'edus. End of story. However, before we get to that part of the story, as I said a second ago, and which is what the Mishnah and the Perek is about, the dinim of korban shvuas ha'edus, or shvuas ha'edus, which is kind of a korban, before we get there, it seems like we missed the first chapter. Right? And that is the question whether or not one is obligated to come forward. If I know evidence in a Din Torah, am I obligated to share that or not? Right? And what is the nature of that obligation if there is one? Well, why wouldn't you be obligated to share it? So this is something that we talked already a little about that first time. I'm not going to go into all the details, but number one, some people like to be a bystander. They don't like to get involved. When it comes to machlokas, there might be good reasons sometimes not to get involved. You don't want to antagonize one side or inadvertently help someone who doesn't deserve it. Or just people are just allergic. It would be probably better, generally speaking, if more people were allergic, you know, to machlokas. Not that they should, you know, abstain from helping people who are deserving, not ad kedei kach, but at least the general sensibility of being allergic to machlokas is a good thing. You know, the smag counts, you know, lo yia kekorech ba'adaso. Ba'adaso is one of the minyan taryag. Anyways, so there could be many good reasons. You know, Gemara talks about being misarev b'riv lo, you know, staying out of other people's quarrels, you know, making sure that you're a force for good and for peace. So, you know, and there might be other reasons as well. There could be, you know, I don't want to go to court because, you know, it's going to come at the expense of a day of work, right? Or, you know, a day at the park with my family. There could be many good reasons why people might not want to be forthcoming when it comes to Eidos. So is it clear that there is such an obligation? After all, based on the pasuk itself, which is, as we just read it, nefesh ki sechta v'shama kol olav v'hu eino ro yadam lo yagid min asav o no. So one could have said that the Torah and the Perek is speaking about a circumstance where the person is asked to testify and he lies under oath, you know, when he, or in the context of abstaining or refusing. But that doesn't necessarily prove, and therefore there are consequences to that. You can't be nishba l'sheker. And being nishba l'sheker when you're also mafsid mamon, right, is particularly unacceptable. But that doesn't necessarily prove that, per se, when there's no shvua involved, that you don't have the right to be a bystander.
Well, what does it mean, the nefesh sechta?
We'll get to it. Well, I mean, okay, the pashtos before, I assume what you're asking. I mean, if you're mechavin to the shiltos.
What? I'm sorry.
if you're like a Gilgul of, or just Mechabed to the Shiltos, then I'll tell you what it means.
No, I don't know.
Okay, if you're just being modest, probably.
It's an innocent question.
What?
An innocent question. I don't know.
Most innocent questions reveal greatness.
Why would Nebuchadnezzar have to come before Rishava Koala?
Okay, so that's the Shiltus' pshat. Uh-oh. This is the big Kiddush of the Shiltus, relating exactly to the question. So let me ask the question, and then I'll get back to it for just a second. The Pashtus, if you don't ask the question in the order, you're being very sensitive. Or maybe I mentioned it, or...
No,
okay, so the Pashtus, it refers... not to the order of things, but it's a statement about the whole circumstance. Meaning, nefesh kisechata, i.e., what happened here? The answer is, in what sense is a chote? V'shama kalalavu, eido ro'ayada, im lo yagid, b'nasava. So he's a chote, i.e., colon. This is what it is. The Shiltos, right, came up with this, you know, brilliant thrust. And once he did, this is typical of the Masorah. If you look at the, I have it here on the page here.
I don't know the Shiltos, but when Losama...
If you look at the Torah Tmima, one second, and others, and the Hamikdabar, they say, you know what? I'll tell you what the Shiltos says in just a second about getting out of order. They say, you know what? Well, the Shiltos said what he said, it's Meduyak in the Pasuk. Right? That's you. Sometimes when people come up with great ideas, you know, it just... what? Oh, because he spent all invested in the Shiltos. Okay, I hear that. Or maybe it's the other way, right? So, anyway, the Shiltos is pshat. So this is the question, before we get to Shiltos. Let me do it in order. Again, part of this we mentioned, but I'm trying to put it in a larger context now. That there is a Chi of Haggadah is clear. Separate from any case of Shavuot Shek. How do I know that? Right, so this we mentioned last time. There are two makoros that are explicit and one that is implicit. Just very quickly, the explicit one, the best one, is on the bottom, I think, of page 2, the Mishnah Sanhedrin. And the Mishnah Sanhedrin, ironically and strangely, even in the context of Dina Nefashos, right? The Mishnah says, "You're ma'ayim the edim, you threaten the edim," right? You should know the testimony you're about to give is a matter of life and death, you know, and that's not a small thing. Kol ha'makayim nefesh ha'achad, you know, kol ha'ma'abed nefesh ha'achad, the whole business. And you know, you basically tell them, you know, you instill in them a tremendous sense of yira. So in the end of the day, that's the look here just for a second. Let's see. Mishnah says, "Ketzem ma'imin asa edim, alein in farsha soy machnisano, so ma'imin aleim." I skip my little dots are, you know, to make it a little shorter. That's all the kalama abed, kalama kayim, all those things, right? And then the Mishnah says the best punchline in the Mishnah is, "Vishema tomru ma lonu l'tzara hazos." After hearing all those threats, so the edim say, "What do we need this for? Like, you know, we tried to do a good thing, and the guy, you know, they're trying to frighten us. We could have stayed home." But the answer is halok varnamar v'hu edo ro'ayada im lo yagid v'nasav. Oh no. Quoting the pasuk of Shavuos Ha'edus, that's a problem that we have to get to in a second. Namely, that's the makor. Basically, the Mishnah is saying, is there an obligation to come forward? I mean, it's just agmas nefesh, right? The dayanim are going to threaten you. You're going to have sleepless nights. It's like jury duty, you know. You know, you want to be in a big case? It's very exciting. And you want to live with, you know, with the responsibility for that, right? So ma lanu l'tzara hazos. It's just a very pithy, but the answer is you don't have a choice, right? Im lo yagid v'nasavo. No, that's one. The second one is a Gemara in Bava Kama on Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph. This is probably in page 3, which says, and we'll go. We have to examine this more fully anyway. Hayodeh edus l'chaver v'ena meidlo. It's a brisa in the Gemara there. Gemara says if a person knows testimony, page 3, is it on 3?
Yeah.
You guys, if you have the line there, I don't have the one with the lines. 7? Hayodeh edus l'chaver v'ena meidlo. Right? Person knows testimony and he doesn't share it. He doesn't, it's not forthcoming. So the Gemara says, "Yochai b'dinei shemai, yipata b'dinei adam, and yochai b'dinei shemai." So the Gemara, "B'maya skinan, what are we talking about? What's the case? Ilema b'betray, two witnesses or one?" So the Gemara says, "Oh, if there are two witnesses and they tell testimony and they refuse to come forward, and the result is the guy doesn't win his case or he loses his case, pshita d'oraisa, that's a din d'oraisa. What's a din d'oraisa? Where does it say in the Torah? Same pasuk, im lo yagid v'nasav o no." It's interesting. Sometimes they quote it as a lav, sometimes they quote it as an asay, right? Sanhedrin quoted Behuedo Rayana. Here it's quoted as a lav. The Arama in Sanhedrin turned it into a lav. The Rashbats thinks it's a lav and an asay, Behued and Imlo Yagid. Interesting. But the bigger idea point here is that both the Gemara Bava Kamma and the Mishnah in Sanhedrin are telling you that the Pasuk of Shua Sa'edus, which happens to be about Korban that is triggered by lying under oath that you don't know testimony, right, is also the source for teaching you that you cannot choose to be a bystander and to be uninvolved. You have to come forward when there's no Shavua.
They don't quote Meshach
Yisach.
If the Shiltos is right, why don't they quote that part of the
puzzle? Say again?
If the Shiltos is correct.
Oh, okay. I mean, again, the Girsa, okay. Yeah, I hear. But the Shiltos is just so good that I wouldn't worry about that. So again, this is the question is, that's two. By the third one, by the way, is our Gemara here in Sanhedrin, here in Shmuas, and Lamed Amud Beis, I think we've read this also, where the Gemara says, on Lamed Amud Beis, if you turn to it for a second, the second, Omar Rabba Baravuna, Hay Tzurbim Rabbanan Diyada B'Sadusa, if you see, you'll see the Os, what is that, Zion, of the Rambam, it's 3, 5, 6 lines up before the lines get wide. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabba Bar Avuna, Haitzurba Rabbanan, what's the Tzurba Rabbanan Tamachacham?" Right? The Yada B'Sadusa, he knows evidence, he has evidence. The Zila B'Milsa, Lemezo, Lebe Dayana, the Zutermina, Lasude Kame, but it's beneath his dignity to, you know, the Supreme Court justice doesn't want to, you know, testify in front of the, you know, the circuit. What's the lowest? How do
Supreme Court.
Supreme Court is the lowest you can go. You're saying no, the circuit, the small claims court. Okay, so Supreme Court Justice Abe Fortas or whatever, you know, is he doesn't want to testify, or people don't want him to testify, right? That's very reasonable. So the Gemara says lo leizo, he doesn't have to. Amar Rav Shisha, Braid Ravida, Afanan Amitnina, Masasako, Kupa, Vein Darko, Lital, Arizola Yital. It's the same thing that's true with an Aveda. Or do you have an Aveda in the street? So typically it's a Chiyav HaShavas Aveda. But if it's not the kind of thing that I would, you know, if I wouldn't bend down to pick up the quarter, for my quarter, then I don't have to bend down and pick up his quarter. The Zila B'Mils, B'Salamta, right? Hani Mila B'Mamona, says the Gemara, B'Surin, Chachmein, Tunin Eitzel, Negar Hashem. So by implication, it sounds like that absent the p'tur of kavod, which may also be the reason why Kohen Gadol and the Melech, right, don't have to come forward. That's against Sanhedrin Daf Yud Ches. A regular person is obligated to come forward, just like he's obligated to return an aveda. And in the matters of Isurim, it sounds like even a Talmud Chacham, you know, b'dayin d'zutermine. What about a Kohen Gadol and or a Melech b'isurim? That's a debate among the Rishonim. It's a debate within the Rambam, to read the Rambam. Kesa Mishnah, Lecha Mishnah. Balitosis and Sanhedrin, Yitches, say Kohen Gadol, Melech, Talmud Chacham, it's all the same. Anyway, interesting issues. But we start going straight, which will be in a couple of more shiurim, you know, we'll get to some of these things. But the point I'm trying to make is that implicit in this Gemara is, forget about Shua Sa'edus. There's no Shua Sa'edus here. Right? We're talking about whether there's an obligation to come forward and testify. The answer is, there's a p'tur, Talmud Chacham, and Mamon, you know, kind of a hisalapta. Right? Lifamim atamita mitale. But otherwise, there's an obligation. So the question is, how does all this, what's the makar? So these two sources, Sanhedrin, Mishnah Sanhedrin, the Gemara Bava Kamma, say the Makar is the Pasuk of Shua Sa'edus. That's where Tosus asks the question in Bava Kamma, if you hear on page, what is it, 3, it says Tosas Baba Kama. Tosas in Tomar. Hani milikish avral shuasa kedesiv v'shama kol Allah. Tosas asks the simple question. How can you bring a proof from a case where there's a shvuas sheker and you're chayv a korban? How does that prove that when there's no shvuah that you're obligated to come forward? Tosas answer. Yeshlomer d'hachi kamar kra. Kisha over bedavar sheim lo yagid hayan ose avon oz yavi korban shua. Tosas, because of the Mishnah and the Gemara, came up with a new parshanut in the pasuk. The way to read the pasuk is, right? Kisha over bedavar sheim lo yagid hayan ose avon. The im lo yagid benos avono, in other words, isn't on the korban, isn't on the shua. It's v'shama kalala, when you hear a shvua regarding a matter which, forget about the shvua, is already characterized as im lo yagid v'nasa avono, right? When you lie about an im lo yagid v'nasa avono matter, what's an im lo yagid v'nasa avono matter? Meaning, a situation where you knew testimony and you had the obligation to be forthcoming and weren't. Nothing to do with the Shua, and you compound it, says the Pasuk, by lying about it, then you bring a Korban. Huh? So the Pasuk is really saying two things at the same time. Right? It's saying you bring a Korban when you compound it, and it's also saying that it's already a situation which is unacceptable. That's Tosas. The Shilto says something very similar, but breaks up the Pasuk in the following. The Shilto is bothered by your question. Right? I think I have it here in the form of the Netziv.
Page 25.
Page 1, right?
Yeah,
the Hamikdavar. The Nefesh Kisechta B'Shama Kal Allah. Pirish B'Shultas Drabachai. Simen Samaktes. The Nefesh Kisechta V'Hadar B'Shama Kal Allah. That's exactly what you said. Right? It's already, why is it the Nefesh Kisechta already? So I was saying before, most people interpret it, what do you mean by that, i.e., right? But Shilta said, no, that's not the pshat. The nefesh, kisechta. He's already a chote. How's he a chote? Because he didn't come forward. And then he compounds it. It's a little bit of a smoother read. It's the same idea as Tosas, namely that the pasuk is telling you two different dinim. But it's even, right? V'achet hu im lo yagid afilo lo shama shvua. U'biarnu v'hamek sheila, that's the Netziv's perush on the Shiltos. The nearly the kacha perush, mishum denafkum b'gzer shava, tekta v'tekta, mishum esapikadon, v'sham ba'de haka perusho. That's a whole, I say it's a great example. You know, once, you know, you've once your eyes have been, you know, once you've been illuminated, you find, you know, other nuances, you know, that make sense, or other facets that fall into place. That's a beautiful thing. Anyway, the Tartmim also tries to show that this is the pshat. Oh, the Rajbo, which I mentioned last time, has a different take. This is very important. Rajbo of Kama doesn't like Tosas's question. I mean, doesn't like Tosas's answer. So instead, he says something different. Here, where's the Rajba in Bava Kama? Page 3? Yeah, page 3, right after Tosas. The Rajba starts off by quoting Tosas. Right? We can skip that part because we know what Tosas says. Go to line 3. At the end of line 3. What line is that in your
21?
So the end of 21, last four words. Vein teir zumachovar. So the Rajba says, I don't beinai. Sorry. Diminale dachi kamakor. Number one, this is not an easy read of the pasuk. The way Tosas reads the pasuk, Tosas thinks it's the only way to read the pasuk, given the Masorah that there's a makor in this pasuk that you have to give testimony. You know, it's the, but the Rajba understood that too. But the Rajba adds another point. The Rajba says, "Demaksha kolkach bepshitas daraisa nami b'chayim." Says, let's remember the tone of the Gemara. What are the Gemara saying? Bava Kama. Gemara said that today this is the chaveiro, this chayim b'dinei shemayim. Gemara said, "What's the case?" If our two edim, that's daraisa, because doesn't lo yagid. So the Rajpa says, even if it's true that Tosis is right, that you read the pasuk in that way, in that little, you know, that very nuanced way, but would you say pshitahi daraisahi? Reading the pasuk that way is so obvious that you don't need a braisa to tell you the law. It's not like it's explicit in the pasuk. That's what the Rajpa was arguing. Meaning, what he's saying is, number one, I'm not sure whether I buy Tosis's pshat. Number two, let's say we buy the pshat. How do you account for the Gemara's dismissing the need, right, to formulate it? At minimum, it's not an obvious reading of it. It's not like there's an explicit pasuk that can't be read differently that you couldn't misunderstand. That's the Rajba's bringing again, you know, a different level of analysis. You know, Bali Tosis did theirs. You know, now the Rajba's doing it. That's, again, part of the progression, you know? So he ends up saying something very, very important, conceptually very important. Umistabra, demimela shaminimla, tahibisha shama kal Allah, afa bishalo ana amen. Tafilohachi, bishalohigid, ikinasiyuske. The Rajba says something amazing. And that's a key for the whole parak, in a way. What he says is, there is no. In the psukim only speak about korban shvuah seidus. They only speak about the shama kol Allah, a shvuah sheker, right? He uses the shvuah sheker to deny his knowledge of any relevant testimony. So how can the Mishnah and the Gemara derive from this pasuk, which is talking about a case in which there are added circumstances, how can they learn a more minimalist halacha? Namely, that when there's no shvuah sheker, there's an obligation to come forward. The question is a very strong question. The Rajba says, the din of shvuah sa'edos, more particularly, the din of shvuah sa'edos mipi acherim, proves that there's a chiyuv hagadas edos. Not the pasuk, but the institution itself. Meaning, we said before, right, that when we talked about the Mishnah, Rav Meir, in a way, highly. We don't paskin like Rav Meir, but he highly. What did Rav Meir say? There are two types of shvuas edus, right? One is called mipi atzmo, where the edim articulate the shvua, they express it fully, or another mipi atzmo, the shortcut version is through amen, kola one amen achar hashua kemotzi shvua mipiv, right? And there's another way. And that is mipi acherim. What's mipi acherim? The other guy's the guy who he does the heavy lifting on the haflah side, right? He's the one who says all the words practically, and they respond and they say, yeah. We don't know the word. We don't know the testimony. They don't say the word shame. They don't say the word shvua. They barely acknowledge what he says. They don't say amen, right? And they don't say any shvua like phrases either. But they respond affirmatively. Like, I guess if you go to court, I don't know. Do we say, I affirm? Is that the... Instead of saying, I swear, you say, I affirm. What's the difference between affirming and swearing?
Jewish people
first. There you go. Okay. So, whatever it is, but it's, you know, you got the idea. So the Rajma says the following. And this is important. Because you might have thought, and I think it's true for many of the Rishonim, this is a major, major, major debate. How do we understand the institution of Mipi Acherim to begin with? If you need a Shvua, then how can it work Mipi Acherim? Right? And indeed, in Shvuas Bitui, mostly, believe the Rambam, there's a Rambam. It's always a Rambam. The Rambam in Parakeh, Hilchos Shvuos, Halacha, Lendalid, seems to talk about Shvuas Bitui Mipi Acherim. That's a whole topic. But the Pashtus of the Mishnah and the Gemara on Choftes and Beis in Shvuos, and elsewhere, there's no mipi acherim in shvuos bitui. If somebody says, swear to me that you didn't eat chicken last night, okay, that's a shvuos bitui, right? So typically, a shvuos bitui is I take a shvua, and whether you need a shame or you don't need a shame, that's an argument. But whatever language, whatever the, you know, the mechanics of making a shvua are, I make a shvua. I didn't eat yesterday, or I didn't eat chicken yesterday, or I did this yesterday, or whatever it is. That's called, right? That's a shvuas bitui. Lo yachel devaro. let's say somebody comes and says, you know, swear that, you know, that you're going to, or that you did, you know, help your neighbor, or take out, you know, whatever it was, any shuas bitui, that's in Piacher, it doesn't work. Why? Why does it work? Because the nishba hasn't sufficiently articulated, right, the hafla. It's a hashba, it's not a shvua, right? So why is it that in shvus haydus and shvus habikadon, there might be a difference between them, why doesn't piacherim work in shvus haydus at all? If part of the hybrid is shvua, where's the shvua in piacherim? Right? In a way, what Rav Meir is saying in the Mishnah, we're going to get back to this, but what Rav Meir was saying in the Mishnah was, in a chanami, in a way, there are two tracks for shuas edus. There's shuas edus mipiacherim, right? That requires that has to take place in Bezdin to accentuate the choshen mishpat part. Let's say, and there's shuas edus mipiatzmo. You don't need a Bezdin for that, right? It's kind of his way of saying maybe, likely, that there are two ways to accomplish shuas edus. One on the shuas side. Right, and one more on the Hafsid Mamon side, or Kvisha Seidus side. Now, we don't paskin like our mayor, we paskin like the Chachamim. The Chacham say, Shua Seidus always has to be Bebezdin, maybe Piatzmo, maybe Piacherim, it doesn't make a difference. But it's still, there are still possibly echoes of our mayor's idea. Meaning, so how do we look, why does Shua Seidus work mi Piacherim? Is our mayor right? Does it work even though it's not really a fully a Shua? But it's enough that it's mitzuraf, or associated, or it's a hashba of the other fellow. Just that we don't agree, la halacha, that means you don't have to be in Bezdin. You still have to be in Bezdin for mipiatmo, but in Akhanami, mipiacherim is not a full shua. Or, no, since there is a chiyuv and so on, so, you know, he has a right to demand, because it's his money that's, you know, being jeopardized. And therefore, it's not a hajba, it's a hechatimtza for nishba. Not in bitui, because there's no connection between them, but at least in shuas eidus. In other words, what I'm asking is, in the end of the day, if mipiacherim works in shuas eidus, right, is that consistent with a perspective in which the shvuas sheker and the hafla part is still the main driving force? The answer is, that's a good open question. But the Rajma apparently didn't think it was an open question. What the Rajma says is as follows. The very fact that the Torah says, V'shama kol Allah, that you can have a shuas eidus mipiachirim, even though, look at the language of the Rajma again, mistabra de mimela shaminu le. We know the din of chiyuv agada mimela. Why? Dahi b'shama kol Allah, afa b'shalo ana amenhu. The shama kol Allah, meaning the mipiachirim is even when there's no amen, there's no ditto. And nonetheless, Bishalohigid, Ika, Nisius, Chet. If he suppresses his Eidos, even though he didn't actually articulate a Shvuas Sheker, he merely was Mitzuraf to a Shvua to that effect, right? Even though it falls short of a Hafla B'Sheker, nonetheless, he's Chayiv. V'imisa the Kishalo Shama Kol Ola, the Kofer Beidus of Bezel Lake and Nisius Chet, so the Rajma says, I don't understand. If the Chosh, well, I'll say it my way, but this is really what he means. If you don't build up the Chosh and Mishpat side, you know, the Shavua side is not adequate in the Piacherim to justify the Korban. Atu Misha Omer Lechaberim Ashbia Nealecha Shetomar Kain, the Kain Sharaisa, Velohigid Mimecha. Let's say some. I come over to, I'm not the Baldabar. Right? Right? Or you're not Edim. I just come over and I say to you, I hereby demand that you swear that you saw, you know, somebody wearing my hat yesterday. With no monetary case. Or somebody wearing Plony's hat yesterday. That's a Shavuos Eidus? Or you can impose such a Shavu on somebody? And if he says, you know, we did say, that's a Shavuos Sheker? Of course not. Or, Krovim Shein Meidim Lo. Right? You go to two krovim and you say, come to court and testify. Maybe they really did. They were there for the halva. But they're krovim. And you impose a shvuah. But is it an objective act of sheker? If they were to come to court, or not come to court, and just to say, you know, we swear, you know, by b'shem Hashem, that this is what we saw, and they lied, that would be shvuah's bitui, right? But mipi acherim, it would be zero. Says the Rajba, "Mipnei sheim do some klum vein chayav la'ido v'afak sherim kiyotze behem lo yichayav la'hayid kol shelo anu amen." Basically, what the Rajba says is shuas edus mipi acherim does not have enough hafla to justify a korban unless you assume that there's a prior obligation to come to court, and then the fact that he lies about it. Or at least it's connected to a hafla sheker, a hashba'a, if not a shvua, is enough. Oh. So that is the.
Where does the Baal Zavar derive any power to impose a shvua?
What do you mean?
In other words, if they're in front of the bed, then is your
yeah, but the Baal Zavar, these are the Rambam's, the Gemara says about Shavuos Eidos. If you notice the Pasuk, the way, and if you look back to the Pasuk, it says, Im lo yagid, right? It's spelled Lamed Vav Aleph, which is not, obviously, a typical spelling. So the Drusha and the Gemara, in Shavuos, Lamed Gimel, which we'll get to, is Im lo with a Vav, lo with an aleph, yagid. Im lo yagid. Meaning, korban shvus eidus requires mi pia toveya. It has to be the request or the demand to testify has to come from the Baal Zavar. The Rambam was mechadish. If you look here in Perek Aleph, I want to talk about the Rambam now anyway. If you look at the Rambam in Perek Aleph, halach aleph, the Rambam requires mi pia toveya not only in korban shvus eidus, which is where the Gemara derives it from, but even in the Chi of Haggadah. If you look here, where's that? Page?
Page 4.
Yeah, line 33. 33. So the Ram, Eidus Perek Aleph Halach Aleph. We talk about a few things here. The Ram says, Ha'ed Mitzuva L'Hayid, the Bezdin, B'Chaleh D'Shei Yodea. Exactly what we've been talking about. An aid, a person who knows testimony, is obligated to come forward and to testify. The Rambam, here's the chidushim of the Rambam that the Kesem Mishnah and others note. Very difficult to find Makoros in the Gemara for. The Rambam says it doesn't matter whether the Eidus is going to hurt or help the person who requests it. That's not so obvious. Really? I mean, it makes sense. Meaning it's not difficult, but it's not compelling. I mean, it depends. Part of the questions that I referred to, which you need to talk, why are you obligated to come forward and testify? Do you owe it to the system? You know, to Klal Yisrael, to the system of justice? Or do you owe it to the Taveya? If you owe it to the Taveya, you're probably not obligated to testify if it's going to hurt him. Now you might say, why does he want you to testify? He doesn't have to be a masochist. He could just be ignorant of the law, or he could be ignorant of exactly how much you know.
If it hurts one, it helps the other. So.
Well, right. That's true, but since there's a din, at least in Korban Shavuos Eidos, of Pia Toveya, and since, as we'll see in a second, the Rambam and Dine Mominus requires in Pia Toveya to trigger the Chi of Agada too, so the other party is kind of, you know, irrelevant, or not so relevant, even though it's a good point. So the Rambam says, that's number one. Bein Beit Shea Zakeu Bo, here's the line. That's if he's, you know, claim, if there's a claim made, b'dine mamanis. Shenemar v'huedo ro'ayada im le'agid v'nasav o'no. So all the notes are kelim. Say, where did the Rambam get that from? Both things. Where did he get that even l'chova? And where did he get this idea that you need a tviya in order to trigger the chi of agada? So they say different things. I mean, the Kesem Mishnah says, well, since the makar of the Chiv Agada is Vehu'eid or Ro'yada, and there it says, Im lo yagid, Lo lamed vav aleph, im lo yagid. Right? They need a tviya. So hu adin, the chiyav agad part. But, I would say that that's partly the answer to your question. And that is, as you said, like, why does he owe it to that guy? And how does that guy have the right to demand or impose upon him? That's what you're asking, right? The answer is, as you can call it, kol yisrael areim zelazeh, whatever it is. The point is, I'm allowed to be a bystander, but only until he demands that, you know, he could say, invokes his prerogative, you know, to trigger my responsibility to him. But it's still chiddush in the Rambam that you need that tviya. And without the tviya, that you wouldn't have that obligation. Yeah?
I don't understand. Why isn't Lusama or Adamri...
Okay. So...
I have a question, too.
Yeah.
The question is
first you're the Shiltos, now you're Mechab into Sifraz.
Betraying the Raisa. Why don't we have a situation here, Shnayim Shasu Peturim?
What?
Shnayim Shasu Peturim. If you need the two Aidim to collaborate in order to be Chayav.
You always need two Aidim for a Din Torah.
I know, but...
Now two Aidim you have zero.
Shnayim Shasu.
No.
Two people involved in doing an Aveira.
What do you mean an Aveira? Without two Adim, you don't have...
Withholding testimony.
No. In Hilchos Shabbos, if you have... if somebody's doing a malacha, so and it's a one-man malacha, and two people do it, so that's a... however you want to explain it, that's a dilution of the malacha, and therefore it's only becomes Rabbanan and so... No, but here, the category, to begin with, is that the Chiyuv Haggadah and the Din of Korban Shavuos Eidos only applies to a unit of two, because the unit of two is the effective unit of Eidos. Right? Right, so that... If it wasn't two, there wouldn't be a Chiyuv. That can't be the basis for the Ptur. Okay. But the Sifra comment was good. Okay, so let me mention the following. Yeah. I mean, what happens if only one Tessa? So we'll get to that. That kind of is related to the question you asked also before, which is, well, how much exclusive responsibility, you know, is or liability, you know, do you need to trigger the Chiyuv Shvuos Ha'edus and the Chovetz Haggadah? So we'll get to that. For example, let's take Ed Echad, for example. The Gemara says that Hayodei Edus L'Chaber Ve'Eino Meid is Chai B'dinei Shemayim Pata B'dinei Adam. Now the Gemara said, what are we talking about? If we're talking about two, it's Daraisa. So the Gemara said, yeah, you're right. You don't need a Braisa for that. We're talking about one. Meaning, one aid is obligated, not Korban Shavuos Eidos, unless it's a case where he can affect the case himself, but is obligated to tell. Is that the same or not as two? That would be an interesting question. And then the question of what happened if you have two Eidim and one doesn't, that's later on in the Mishnah, so we'll get to that also. It's very... very pertinent question. But let me say before that, because we have to stop in a couple of minutes. The Rambam is very clear, and the Chinuch is clear, and most of the Rishonim are clear, based on the Sugya and Sanhedrin, and Bava Kama, that the obligation to testify in Bezdin comes from Behu'ed Arayana, one way or another. Again, whether it's, you know, Nefesh Kisechata of the Shiltos, the Pshat of Tosis, which is, you know, the Imlei Agivin Asav Ono, you know, is its own, you know, Hagdara, whether it's the tremendous Kiddush of the Rajba, that the institution of Shavuos Eidos Mipi Acherim proves that there's a Chiyuv Haggadah. But one way or another, it's related to that Pasuk, and that's certainly what the Rambam says here. It's what he says in Sefer HaMitzvos, which we'll get to. It's what the Chinuch says. It's what most of the Monei HaMitzvos say. There are two Monei HaMitzvos that don't count in the Minyan Tayag, the obligation to appear in court. One is the Bahag, and the other is Reb Sajigon. It's a good thing that it was Reb Sajigon, because that, you know, triggered an interesting, you know, long essay by Rabbi Rucham Frischel Perlow and Sefer Mitzvah Reb Sajigon. What do they hold? They can't deny that there's such a Chiyuv, because it's a Mishnah, and a Gemara, and another Gemara, at least, right? We had three, you know, pretty much incontrovertible proofs that there's an obligation to give tithes. And the answer is, I don't know any reasonable way to read that Mishnah that doesn't say that you're obligated to testify. The whole point is, what do I need the Agmas Nefesh? And the answer is, because you're obligated, right? And the same seems to be true for Bava Kamma, and the exception of Talmud Chacham implies the rule. So, what do you do?
Don't we just learn that that's only if you're being mitzvah by the Baal Dover?
And therefore?
So, if you just know in the abstract, nobody bothers you.
Okay, but why can't you count? I mean, the Rambam had no problem, and the Chinuch had no problem counting this in the Minyan Taryag, even though in Mamonis it only applies, you know, with the Tviya. Aside from which, in Isser it applies even without a Tviya. So I'm not, I mean, you may, that's true, but that shouldn't be an impediment to counting it at all. Oh, so I what you have to say for the Bahag and Upsajigon, and this is what they say, because you have to say it in one way or another, you can't deny that there's a chiyuv on Goddess Eidus. But you can deny that it's an independent mitzvah in the Minyan Taryag. It could be under some other heading. And here you have two almost opposite candidates. Opposite in sensibility, and also one is an asay, the other is a lav. What are the two? One is, what did you say? Osam al Damar Yacha. So there's a sifra, and the Rambam also quotes it in Sefer Mitzvos. And the Shiltos quotes it, even though he has the other pasuk. If you look here on the same page? No. I'm guessing this is page 4. Right before the Rambam. Yichus Eidus? The entry before the Rambam? 28? Okay.
528.
Okay, Sifra Kedoshim. A very fascinating Sifra. Uminayin she'ima ta yodea lo eidus ena ta rashay lishtok aleha. How do you know this is exactly our issue? That if you know testimony, you're not allowed to be silent. Talmud lomar lo samar al damar yecha. Uminayin in ra'isa shetoveya benahar, somebody's drowning, or listen boim alav v'chay rab alav, where he's, you know, an animal, wild animals chasing him. Chay v'tal atzila benafsho. Talmud lomar lo samar al damar yecha. Which of these, you know, doesn't belong? Or they give those, you know, IQ tests. First of all, the Osam al Damar Yacha, that one would have thought, is about Pikoch Nefesh. That's all that's the Fashos.
Tomorrow applies to Avidus, Chaveiro, if you see the Nahar, Shoteif, whatever.
Yeah, so isn't that also...
Yeah, that's monotheism,
not Damar Yacha,
literally.
Right, so I'm just saying, in the Ikar Limud of Osam al Damar Yacha, again, so the Rash, did I quote the Rash here? I haven't ever. I remember here that I put in the Rash. No, maybe not. The Rash says that has a drasha that Amida means shtika. The Rash Mishantz wrote a Balitosis wrote a perush on the Sifra. So he goes out of his way to try to show. I think what he's trying to say is bothered him. In other words, Samar Damar Yecha sounds like Katzalus Nefashos. And, you know, I was like, there are two dinim, there are two tracks in L'Samar al-Damar Yacha. One is shtika. How could you ever be shtika? Shtika is always going to be, that's a different kind of Damar Yacha. Right? You know, you're killing me. That kind of, you know, financially killing me, whatever. Denying me what I deserve. Denying me, whatever. Fine. So, if you look at the Rambam, in Hilchos Rotzeach, which I also have here somewhere. Second. Yeah. Last page. Is that 6? Rambam Hilchos Rotzeach, everybody have that? Aleph Yadalid. Here's what the Rambam in Yad HaChazaka, in Mishnah Torah, quotes the Din of Osam al Damar Yacha, as you would expect in Hilchos Rotzeach. Kol Yochel Ha'atzev Lo Hitzil, Overal Osam al Damar Yacha. V'chein Eros Chaveiro Toveh B'yam, drowning. Listim Boim Olav, robbers, chaya rabalav, yachal atzilu be'atzmo, o sheyiskar achelatz, or hire somebody, velo hitzil, o sheshama goyim, o mosrim, chashrim alav l'ra, right, o tomlim v'pach, setting a trap for him, velo gila, ozen, chaver v'hodio, doesn't reveal it, He can smooth things over. The Ram doesn't mention Dine Mamanus cases. It's certainly not obvious that Los Amon Adam Reacher applies to Dine Mamanus. Does it only apply in Dine Mamanus to Yodea Edus L'Sheker L'Chamero? That's the first one mentioned in the Sifra. Very interesting. What is interesting is that the Rambam does quote this in Sefer Mitzvos. Actually, the Rambam does a double thing. In Sefer Mitzvos, when he talks about Osamu Adam Riacha, he makes reference to Shavuos Eidos, or to Chiyuv HaGadas Eidos. If you look at, do I have another minute or two? Lo Sase Reish Tzadi Zayin, the one previous page. Amitza Reish Tzadi Zayin says, Hironu Mehit Rashel, being lazy
negligent,
right? We know how to swim. Then he adds, that somebody who suppresses testimony also sees his friend's money, being lost. All he needs to tell the truth. So it's interesting. In Yad HaChazaka, it doesn't connect it. And here, he mentions it, and then he mentions, but I already mentioned that there is such a thing in its own right. And if you look earlier, the previous piece, which is Asei Kufayin Ches, which is the Rambam Sefer Mitzvah's discussion of Chiyuv HaGadah, he says, HaMitzvah Kufayin Ches, Shetzivanu L'Hayit Bebezdin, Bechol Ma Sheneida'enu, Bein Shia Misa, Misha Edus Alava Hotzalaso, whether it's going to hurt or help, even in Misa, right, Hefsed Mamono or Havachaso, Anachnu Chayovim, Lahoid, Kulo, Lahodio, Adayonim, Ashurinu, Shaman, we're obligated to tell the judges everything. Vinei, Vira, Basenu, Aleim, Ashalim, Rayasam, Alchiv, Agad. Here he doesn't say it's the Makar, he says it's a Raya, it sounds a little more like the Rajba, right, Vuedo Royada, Vaovra, Mitzazu, Vuhushi, Yechbo, Shaedus, Uncho, Gadal, it's a severe Onesh, and it says, Vuhu, Amari, Salam, Loyagid, Vilasavano, Vizendar, Klawi. And so on. So it's interesting that in Sefer Mitzvos he does connect Kvishas Eidos to Losamon Adam Reacha, and he downgrades a little bit the Mokar of Uhuedo Rayada, whereas in Yad HaChazaka, right, he seems to shift the emphasis a little bit. Uhuedo Rayada is a firm makar, right? And Losamon Adam Reacha is purely about Hatzalas Nefashos, and there's no reference to Agadas Eidos. It's not like the Rambam in different places was playing with different ways of understanding the interrelationship. Anyways, one possibility is that Rav Sanjagon and the Bahag took a strong view that, of course, there's a Chiyuv HaGadas Eidos, but it's based on the Sifra. It's based on Lo Samar Adam Reacha. It doesn't require a separate minyan, a mitzvos of Kvishas Eidos. Okay? In the other direction, we have the Ramban. Let me just mention it and then we'll stop. The Ramban in Kuntras Dina de Garmi, we'll talk about it next week, it's very important. The Ramban wrote several essays. He wrote something on Drosh and Rosh Hashanah. He wrote a response to the Ravid's essay on Hilchos Lulav. And the Ramban's, of course, biggest famous, he's of course Torah Sa'adam. The Ramban wrote essays. And, they were, like everything the Ramban wrote, just amazing structurally and substantively. So he wrote an essay on Dina de Garmi. It's called Kuntras Dina de Garmi, in which he topically discusses the very complex question of you know, what's mazik, what's garmi, what's grama, and that's one of the different levels of causality in nezek. So he raises the question based on the Gemara Bava Kama that we just read. Hamat says, why is he pata medine adam? Why shouldn't he pay? Medine nezek. So his answer, I'll just tell you his answer, and then, but the way that he formulates is very important. We'll leave it for next week. We'll try to finish up a lot of these things. He says, really, the chiyuv of agudas edus is a chiyuv of gemilas chasadim. Since it's a chiyuv of gemilas chasadim, you can't collect for that. It's a chiyuv chesed. Now again, if you think that the obligation to come forward and give testimony is based on gemilas chasadim, then you don't need to count it separately in minyan mitzvahs. Right? What's fascinating is, you have, you know, these views, but the Rambam has both losamod, right, and some sort of interface to imo rav oyada. The Shiltos also has nefesh kisachata and losamod. The Ramban, who says it's gemilas chasadim, but is explaining the Gemara Bava Kama, which quotes im v'hu eid or ayana. So I want to speak about next week is two things, or three things. Number one, how do you have both? What does it mean to have both? Psukim. More importantly, why is there no chiyuv mamon, or is there a chiyuv mamon? Which is, gets to the bigger question, and that is, this chiyuv to give testimony, as we've been alluding to it, is a chiyuv to the baldavar, or a chiyuv to the system of justice? And with that, I hope we'll get through a lot of these, and then we can start going straight.
Why did the short